Today on Real Radio.
Isn't that what David cried out in the Psalms? Didn't David cry out and say, man, what's the deal? The non-believer who hates God seems to be blessed, prosperous, he's healthy, while the righteous scarcely get by.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Chapter 17 of 1 Samuel tells that famous story about Goliath and, of course, David, young, and using, well, he wasn't using the big weapons of the day. He was using a rock and a sling, which was not the choice weapon of the day. You may have learned that during your childhood, of course, but this is indeed no children's story. It's one of the many life and death struggles between Israel and its enemies. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from 1 Samuel chapter 17 called Winning the Battles of Life.
1 Samuel 17, and we are considering the series that's before us. And of course, this is a great and famous chapter of David killing the great giant, Goliath. But we're going to take a very, very slow, and we trust a very good look at winning the battles of life as we consider this chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll look at the first seven verses this evening in our study together. It says here before us, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and they encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah. And they drew up in battle array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and an armor bearer went before him. Tonight we're considering our first study in what is entitled Winning the Battles of Life. And there's a lot here, and I am convinced after studying for this that if we spent perhaps the remainder of the year upon this chapter, we will not fathom all that God has for us here. You might say, Jack, you are exaggerating. You are no way serious. I'm dead serious. I am sure of it. You say, well, come on, are you sure? Because I've heard this story all my life. I remember this story when I was a kid. Well, you know what? It's an actual event. We've heard it so much that we consider it maybe just a story. But yet, what is behind the scene in the writing, in the wording, and in the subsequent aspects of us living our lives, the story before us, the event before us, is far deeper than what we give it credit for. This may be a story where we sit down and read a child to at night about the great exploits of God, that a young boy cuts off the head of a great giant who is challenging the nation of Israel to destroy it. And we might say, what a story, Junior, isn't it great? Well, you know what? I'm convinced now that, yeah, it not only happened, but there are giants in our lives right now today. Oh, they may not be 9 feet, 6 inches tall. They might be taller. There's a lot going on. And so as we look at this evening, it is my prayer and my hope that it's just a power to our walk. And so as we look to winning the battles of life, tonight we consider this first point, and that is awakening to the conflict. As Christians, we need to wake up to the truth that we are actually in a battle. We hear about it, we read about it, but I wonder if we often really consider what's going on around us as being a true battle. the things that are going on in our lives, do we write them off as just bad luck? You know, Christians don't experience bad luck. Did you know that? There's no such thing as bad luck to a Christian. There's no such thing as good luck. There's a good God and a bad world. And if somebody says, well, and I know they mean well, I think maybe they're new to the faith or whatever, but people will leave here on Sunday mornings after the services and they'll say, good luck at second service, Pastor Jack. Good luck at third service. Good luck. Luck has nothing to do with it. It's a good God, I hope, that has everything to do with it. But I know what they mean, kind of, I hope, maybe. Luck? No. But in this life, we have giants. David had his giant, but God had a plan about that because God was advancing David. God had a plan for David to take kingdoms and realms for the glory of God. But you might be thinking, now wait a minute, Jack, if God anointed and called David, seeing how David is God's man, wouldn't his life be smooth? I mean, when you came to Jesus, did you maybe think everything was going to smooth out? Hey, I'm David's, I'm God's man, David might have yelled. He could have said, I'm the guy that Samuel anointed. I'm David. And you would think maybe because he's the star of the show that there'd be no trouble. Sometimes I wonder if Christians don't have it more difficult in this life than the non-believer. Isn't that what David cried out in the Psalms? Didn't David cry out and say, man, what's the deal? The non-believer who hates God seems to be blessed, prosperous, he's healthy, while the righteous scarcely get by. Isn't that how it is in life so many times? It is. The Bible tells us these things. We have a tendency to lean upon the idea that if I'm favored by God, as David was favored, then perhaps maybe all will be well. Things will go smooth. After all, Lord, aren't I your servant? What's going on? Do pastors get flat tires? Yeah. Do Christians experience sickness? Mm-hmm. Why is it where you've got a man who's favored by God like Paul the Apostle? He went through so many physical ailments. And if that weren't enough, the poor man was stoned and left for dead. And the Bible tells us that when Paul, I believe, in that portion of the book of Acts, when he got up after being stoned, I believe that he was killed. I believe Paul died. I believe the Lord brought him back. And the Bible says that Paul got up and he dusted himself off and he went right back into the same city. Wouldn't you have caught, like, the Metro Link out of here? There is this sense, this calling. Paul knew, David knew, Moses knew. I'm God's man for the hour. But they didn't look at the bruises. Oh, they had bruises, but they didn't look to the sickness. They had sickness. They didn't look to the setback as though God must not be in it. I hope we learn in these studies that, listen, we need to be more resilient as Christians. Consider this. When we want to do something, we'll do it and we'll press on through it. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I drug my family through this years ago. I wanted to go skiing in Utah. I've got family that lives in Utah. I can ski for free. That's a deal. So we pack up here, and away we go. Now, my wife is sick. Rebecca was sick. And I'm telling her, it's okay. The Lord's in this. You'll see. The Lord was not in the whole trip at all. We got snowed in Cedar City the first time they'd closed I-15 in 18 years, the guy told us. We had to spend Christmas morning in a little tiny motel. Then we got behind a semi and for 6.5 hours stayed on that semi as people were stranded along the road looking out of windows and stranded cars. The blizzard was so bad. Then we get to Utah and my wife and my kid get sicker while I'm skiing. Somebody had to do it. But the whole thing was I was pushing and pushing and pushing. I learned a big lesson, man. I learned a big lesson. But you see, I wanted to do it. Come on, we can do it. Oh, come on. You're not that sick. Come on, come on. You can go. You can. Oh, look, you can be sick at home sitting on the couch, or you can be sick in the car sitting in the car. It's sitting. Well, let's go. Let's go. We can do this. You see, I wanted to, so I was willing to not only go through all of this blizzard, but to put people through it because it was something I wanted to do. But boy, as Christians, if we embark upon something and there's a little bit of an obstacle, maybe we should back off. Maybe God's not in it. And many times the reverse is true. Many, many times when God is in something so much, the opposition of the enemy world is so great, but yet because we're not walking by faith, we're not walking in the Spirit, we will give up on the vision, on the task, because we hit some hardship. That's a terrible way to live. Oh, let me tell you what I'm going to do. The Lord is going to lead me and guide me. And here's the deal. And boy, you got your friends, you got people all pumped up about it, and off you go. And you hit the first bump in the road, and you think the end of the world is coming, and maybe God's not in it. Obstacles are often, not always, but often the thumbs up of God's blessing. It's tremendous. Difficult, no doubt. Winning the battles of life and how we keep going. By the way, you know, we are in a battle. The Bible talks about a battle. The Bible talks about war and in the spirit realm. And the Bible talks about victories. And what's amazing to me about victories imply battles, and battles imply war, and war implies warfare. And as Christians, if you're a Christian tonight, no need to raise your hand, but if you're a Christian tonight, then you will experience warfare. And that is one of the areas that if I would really go deep into this study, you might find yourself kind of whistling in the dark to keep yourself company, kind of a thing. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to hear anything like that, Pastor. Just go on to the next topic. I don't want to hear about things that go bump in the night. I don't want to hear about anything that could, you know, be listening in. I don't want to hear about anything that's invisible. And yet the Bible tells us that there's an invisible world. In the book of Daniel, Daniel was praying for 21 days, and he was wondering, where's the answer? Where's the answer to my prayer? And then an angel shows up. Wouldn't you love to have been there? Daniel's praying, oh, Lord, speak to me. What's the deal? And all of a sudden, whoosh, there's an angel. Hi, Daniel. The day that you started praying, I was dispatched by God to come and speak to you. But for 21 days, I was held up in a spiritual battle with the Prince of Persia in the atmosphere. Can you imagine? You were what? Can you imagine? Kind of like Don Knotts. Huh? Hey, Andy! You know? You were what? Demonic activity, fighting in the atmosphere. The Bible warns us to be careful that when we're living our lives as Christians and ministering and just day-to-day life, the Bible says be careful how you treat strangers, because you could be entertaining an angel without knowing. Are you sure that's in the Bible? Buddy, that's in the Bible. Can you imagine? Isn't it wild, but right here? Look at all the heirs of salvation that are here. The Bible talks about in the book of Matthew and the book of Hebrews that there are angelic custodians to the heirs of salvation. That's us. Hopefully it's all of us in here tonight. They're with you. You know this talk about a guardian angel? You know that's true. It's true. And as you're gathered here tonight, can you imagine if we could see into the spirit realm? I'm glad we can't, by the way. We'd be so wigged out, perhaps. But there's angels around here tonight. Could be an angel sitting right here. Imagine. Could be. We know from portions of the Bible where when Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden, God sent an angel, two angels with flaming swords to protect them from the tree of life. Amazing. Principalities and powers. We're going to hear about those things in this study, and not only that, but our own flesh, how our flesh teams up against us and this world system. But we have a tendency to shy away from battles, and we ought not to do that. So it's a very important thing that we consider that God has got a plan for us in this area. And I don't know about you, but is it sometimes perhaps you might feel that, you know, as this Christian endeavor sometimes is just so difficult. A brother was praying before service tonight, and I loved his prayer. He just said, Lord, can you please hurry up and get us out of here? You ever feel like that? And it seems to me that the moment you were born again, it would be a great time to get raptured right then and there. But that doesn't work that way. Why does God want you and I to go through battles in this life? After all, we're only going to heaven. It's going to be perfect there. Why do we need to have this kind of work experience? And then someone will come back and say, because he's building character in us. But why do we need character? If when we get to heaven, we're going to be like Jesus. What's the deal? You ever wonder about that? I do. Lord, why can't we just accept you and go straight home to be with you? Well, that's the easy way out. But perchance, there are some of you sitting here tonight who you've had the opportunity, and maybe you're not aware of it, but you have been leading people to Christ. They're watching your life. They're listening to you. You've said something to someone about Jesus, and you're a witness. It's an amazing thing. Awakening to the conflict. We see, first of all, that the Christian is in an invisible war. The first thing we want to do is awaken to the conflict. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says here in verses 1 and 2, it says, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. And they were gathered together at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. I'm going to ask you to circle that little statement there, which belongs to Judah. What I want you to realize tonight is that number one thing as a Christian, we need to awaken to the fact that we are involved in an invisible war. And that invisible war, we get hints about in verses 1 and 2. Number one is that it's all about territories. Can you jot that down? It's about territories in life. The Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. There's nothing illegal about that. They're the Philistines. They are a warring tribal group of people. They can do whatever they want to do, I guess. But notice this. It's the Philistines that gathered together in a region, Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They are in Israeli territory. Territory that God had given to Israel. That's what makes this important to us tonight. The enemy will always invade territories of our lives. Very important. We need to understand that there are territories and strongholds that God has established in your life. Listen carefully. Has God delivered you from anything since you become a Christian? You better have a testimony about that. It could be anger. It could be whatever. Has God delivered you? And has he, in turn, established a territory or stronghold, as it were, with his banner waving over that territory? The answer is yes. You have been conquered by the Holy Spirit of the glory of God. You are a testimony of the living God. You belong to him. And I tell you, we've lost this romance of Scripture, but in the ancient days, you look at men like Jacob and Abraham, they walked areas. And when they walked, God would speak to them, and he would say, this area that you've walked, I've given it into your hands. There's a good thing about thinking like that. I told you before, in 1986, we stood under that huge oak tree that's now the logo for the city of Chino Hills. We stood under that oak tree, and we didn't know what we were doing. We lifted up our hands, and we said, Lord, we're here. If you want to deliver these hills and this valley into your hands for your glory, use us in Jesus' name. Amen. We didn't even know what we were saying. But you know what? Our hearts were right. We were sincere about it. There's something that we need to walk like that where we go. Where do you work? Do you realize? Oh, I believe what I'm about to say here. If you don't believe it, don't tell me. It'll hurt my feelings. But I believe that a company will be blessed by the Lord because a Christian works there. Hey, if there's any non-believing company owners here tonight, you ought to hire a Christian. I think God will bless your, God will keep your doors open because he's got one of his kids working in your company. I've seen it happen. I've also seen it happen when the Christian or Christians leave, the company shuts down. Isn't that interesting? Kind of goes along the lines where God speaks regarding Abraham. I'll bless those who bless, and I'll curse those who curse. Interesting, huh? It's all about territories. In your life, have you advanced in an area? In God, you've gotten success in an area. Maybe it's been years, and all of a sudden things are slowly now, you're noticing there's a creeping back of the world, almost like weeds in a garden. Was there a time in your life where you prayed and you were earnest about prayer? Was there a time in your life when you were so excited to share Jesus with people? Or what about just telling your friend? You love them, you do everything with them, they're important to you, and you care for them. But there was a time when you would tell them about Jesus, and now you don't. Are there territories in your life that God has conquered and set up a boundary to, but you and I, we've let those fences get torn down? Maybe it's in the area of your mouth or what you allow your eyes to see or your ears to hear. There was a day maybe when you said, well, I walked a little bit more holy than I do now. Be careful. These are dangerous moves. And the world is against us and Satan's against us and our flesh is against us to get us out of an advancement with God. Satan's already lost your soul. He can't do anything about that. You belong to Christ. But the danger is he wants to sterilize you so that you don't influence anyone else for Christ. Like Lazarus. Lazarus knew the Lord Jesus, but Jesus gave him life. He came hopping out of the tomb, but he was still wrapped in his grave clothes. He couldn't speak. He couldn't walk. He could only hop. And that's why Jesus said after Jesus had given him life, somebody to loose him and let him go. It's a great verse, huh? Jesus has given us life, but maybe over the course of time, we've let things creep back into our lives. I'm absolutely shocked and amazed how so many Christian homes are falling apart and marriages are breaking up in this area of men getting online with pornography. I tell you, if there's anybody in here tonight that's struggling with that, watch this. Take your computer and throw it out the window.
I'm sure, Pastor, it costs $1,700.
Then give us your house key. Go take a walk, and we'll bring a hammer over. You know why? It's destroying your home. It's destroying your kids. You don't think your kids are on it? They know how to get on it. Oh, they don't know my password. They know how to get your password. Then it affects your thinking. Then it affects your time with your wife. It affects your time the way you look at people. And then you go to pray, and you're wondering why God's not hearing you. Battleground, territories. The enemy's trying to take them back. Jesus has radically delivered you out of these things, and there's the thing of the world pulling in. I hear people about going online. I tell you, I guess if there was ever a computer system set up where you could research, you know, National Geographic and NASA, I guess that would be all right. But people start out researching NASA, and they wind up wandering over to their class reunion thing and meeting up with an old boyfriend and jeopardizing now their husband and wife with their kids. It all started on the internet. What is this?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Winning the Battles of Life. Winning the Battles of Life is actually a multi-part mini-series taken from our journey through 1 Samuel. It's, of course, the famous story of David and Goliath. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series, Winning the Battles of Life, is available for you in a 5-CD set. You know, Scripture is full of military and battle references, both metaphorical and literal. Why? Well, because quite honestly, if you're a true believer, you are in a war. That's the truth, whether you want to be or not. Here's the good news. Our chief commander-in-chief is in control. And of course, he, and only he, is the Most High God. These are the topics Pastor Jack addresses in his series called Winning the Battles of Life. Now here's our offer. For your gift to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-CD set, Winning the Battles of Life. Now whether you call, click, or write, mention it by name, Winning the Battles of Life, and we'll get it right out to you. Visit us at our new reallifewithjackhibbs.org website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then click on Special Offer, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the mere cost of a stamp, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.